Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Tet. We're holding on daf Samach Chet Omud Beit, and we are involved in a daf, actually in a perek so far, which has not been directly nogea actual Divrei Torah as much as understanding the nature of the way that we relate to things, including the Inyonim of Shadim, and now talking about various issues. We started off with the Kordiakis. We talked about how you would get a Kordiakis, and as in many places we find in the Gemara, that we're going to be talking about various Refuot. Now there's different ways of looking at this Refuot. This is, of course, Barnea's favorite daf, as we'll see why, and he makes a lot of money off of this stuff, but we'll get to that. And the issue over here is why. What is all of this doing here in the Gemara? So, my personal sense is that a lot of the discussions about this kind of stuff, which is, you know, the Marsha, he relates it to the issue of the Sefer Refuahs, that there were Geines, Bimechizkiyo, and why weren't they Geines? Why would the Gemara be telling us these Refuahs if we wanted to be Geines, the Sefer Refuahs? So he says that, you know, well, there are Refuahs that a person, I can only tell you what he says. I can't support it. That, of course, you're supposed to be Isaac and Refuahs, and it's just that those Refuahs were enough to prevent people from going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to Davin. It's because of that they were hiding it, Mashen Kein over here. These are only put in the Gemara so that we should be able to retain some of the Chochmah of the Refuah and so on that they had. I don't buy into any of that. And in fact, the Rambam understands that the Geniz of the Sefer Refuah is because it was all full of superstition and nonsense and Avodah Zarah. So, I mean, Imamish laughs at the stupidity of anybody who would say that if we have the knowledge of how to cure cancer, says the Rambam, can you imagine? So we should hide it because people should turn to the Lord instead of to the doctors. I mean, if I've heard anything crazy, this is the pshat of total nonsense. Like, here we have the mitzvah in the Torah of Refuah, and to be able to know Refuah, and so on, and we would hide it. Okay, so he makes fun of this whole approach, which is assuming that the inyanim that we have over here in the Gemara is some kind of magical refuahs and so on, and they're particularly useful. Other of the Mefarshim say just the opposite, that the reason that we list these refuahs is because they don't really work that well. So people wouldn't lose their faith in the Lord because these are, look, if you take a look in this sugya, so a lot of these refuahs are, and if that doesn't work, try this one. And if that doesn't work, try this one. Now, if these were really super-duper refuahs, that would be a sort of strange way to present the refuahs. I think you'll agree. Furthermore, let's recognize that a lot of these refuahs, I mean, they start off coming as old wives' tale, right? Because, I mean, Abaye is always quoting his nanny, you know, who taught him all of these refuahs. I mean, that's a very strange way to be giving over these secret refuahs that are these deep understandings of refuahs. So I find it very hard to believe that that's what we're talking about over here. And therefore the question is, Bichlal, look, for us particularly, Bizmana said, it's very difficult because remember that we have, over the past 30, 40 years, developed an actual beginnings of a science that's called medicine. Medicine was never a science. Medicine was an art, always. And it's only very recently that medicine is being treated as a science and that there's an attempt to actually work out the way things work. This is very, very new, you know, as Lewis Thomas has written about and so on, that it's the youngest of all the sciences because it's only very, very recently that some kind of structure has been brought into medicine, and it's not always been necessarily for the benefit of things. But let's recall the way that medicine is part of actual evolution, and very, very seriously, it was part of cultural evolution, in the sense that animals have medicine. That's important to recognize that there's a Mesera among long-lived mammals that allows them to maintain a science of medicine that they give, not a science, but an art of medicine that they give over me door to door. So, and these are very sophisticated, by the way, medicines. In other words, we're talking about medications that actually humans have learned to discover because of following these animals around, particularly elephants, are remarkably knowledgeable about the relationships of different fruits, plants, and things to needs of the body, to the extent that they actually utilize plants to influence hormonal problems. They treat infertility with plants, which allowed for the discovery of actually different types of estrogen-like substances. So these are very, very, very sophisticated things. Now, I don't think that we believe that these elephants are carrying a profound Mesera from Moshe Mitzrayim about which trees are similar to estrogen so that they can get pregnant, right? I mean, what we're talking about over here is the accumulated data in a culture that allows what would otherwise be anecdotal, and therefore who's got time for trying out every anecdotal nonsense, but over periods of thousands of years, there gets to be things that end up being recognized by a species as being useful for that species. Now, that was the derech of medicine until very, very recently. I'm talking about within the lifetime of most of the people that are actually here in the daf, and certainly animal medicine, veterinary practice was like, you know, we look back at it now as voodoo. The kind of things that we're learning in the sugya is what you would have to spend 4 or 5 years of learning. And you would need to know the exact amount of this type of herb, this type of fruit, this type of bark, and this type of chemical for every different animal, and what would be the dosage for the cow, and for the sheep, and for the goat, for the dog, for the cat. You'd have to go through years and years of training, and as Harriet puts it, and nobody suspected that it was all totally useless and would be thrown out of the window once, you know, antibiotics came in and there's a little bit of science and so on and so forth. All these incredible medicines, he talks about the hundreds and hundreds of jars that they would have of different plants and that you had to put together and you spent hours in mixing and so on. And this, of course, is what the pharmacist used to do, that all of this would be, in almost no time at all be thrown into the garbage. So the fact that we maintain these refuahs in the Gemara is part of the nature, I believe, of the Alehu Lo Yibol, which is literally Alehu Lo Yibol, which we darshan. It doesn't just mean that the leaves don't wither, which is what it means over here, but it means the Sichas Chulin of Tamir Chachamim is Tzorech Talmud. In other words, there's an entire culture is interrelated, the subconscious, the cultural Mesera, so to speak, that is carried by what things are useful for what and how it is that we relate to the world. All those things are meant to be given over, not necessarily by Talmidei Chachamim, but by the nature of a culture that has provided for centuries and centuries of how to interrelate with the world. Now, because of this, there are specific halachic issues that are nogia, and that is that, as the Rambam speaks out in great detail, the difference between refuah and between darkei ha'amori and between anecdotal evidences and the nature of segulais. This is very nogei la'alocha because we are not allowed to engage in things that have any type of magical, superstitious connotations. And that is part of the dinim of Avodah Zarah, which the Rambam obviously includes entirely in Hilchos Avodas Kechavim. And therefore, the Rambam has to define, first of all, binogea, what things are mutter in terms of Avodas Zarah, that is to say, in terms of superstition, and then what the status is legabe Chilul Shabbos, Because if something is not an actual proven remedy, then you're not allowed to be mechalel Shabbos for it, right? And unless there's a psychological need, which is recognized, all psychological needs are recognized as absolutely nogea pikuach nefesh in certain circumstances. That's true. And therefore, we need to distinguish. The Gemara sometimes actually does this. Does this particular refuah have a din of darkei amori or not? So a lot of the inyanim that we're talking about over here, as Tosis points out, are not kedai to actually attempt to use, and they're not meant to be useful any longer. And our way of dealing, what he calls nishtana ateva and so on, is not so much a shinui in teva, it's a shinui into the overall cultural relationship to the way that nature works and the way that we relate to nature, and therefore ties in very deeply. Is that Elroi writing about his grandmother? Or is that Daniel? It's coming from Elroi. It's hard for me to read while I'm in the shir. So, oh, I see. Okay. Very sweet. All right. So what that means is that what we're dealing with over here is, as Tosfos says, something that is nogea, our overall relationship to things, the same way that you would not want to play games with shadim and to see what your subconscious can bring up and leave you locked in an insane asylum for the next 20 years. You might not want to play games with what is to us anecdotal type of things, which is even more complex by the fact that most of the names of the things that we're talking about are no longer 100% clear. And so we don't even know exactly which herbs we're talking about necessarily. And if you're missing one ingredient, of course, you know, the whole thing may not be useful, may never have been useful. And we don't even know precisely what the illnesses are. And therefore, it's actually also, according to Tosfos, to try this, according to many of the Mefarshim. And therefore, we need to understand it the same way that we put it together with the issues that give us an overall structure to the possibilities of the relationship of a human being to the world around him. The connections that it has, lahalacha, obviously, you need to recognize that these things would not be considered to be osur mitam darkei amori. Anyway, so getting back to, we started talking about the cordiacus and what it would be that you could do on a level of medicine for cordiacus. So we also talk about various things here, and some of them are, again, from Abayas Manani. And they're interesting here because they've been arranged in the Gemara sort of top-down in terms of your body. So issues starting at the head, Ledoma Deresha, Rashi says that this is referring to a condition of blood that's causing headache, which is much what we're talking about, high blood pressure. And what you should do is, let's say, shurbina, ubina, v'yasedora. Now, again, I don't really know, and I don't think we should try to necessarily get an exact description of what these things are. It's chaval to waste a lot of time on it, because it'll go in one ear and out the other. There's whole books that have been written about trying to identify these things. They come out all the time. New things that come out all the time. And all of the Mefarshei, the Mishnah, try to get definitions here, and so on. The Oroch, of course, has loads and loads of translations. The Laz of Rashi that is brought over here on the side, and the Targumim of the Laz. There are literally books, entire books, that are written on the analysis of Rashi's French, which is an old French. It's no longer much in use, much of the words that he brings. And so I don't know that it's kedai to even try to translate this, because the chances of the translations being, you know, really useful, don't know. But some of these things are actually, they have popular translations. So, I mean, over here, obviously, if we're talking about myrtle and willow trees, zeso we know is olive, chilfa de yama, that we know is maybe cloves, Yabla, it's not clear what Yabla is. And look, if Rashi can get away with saying Yabla is the name of a type of herb, you know, so can we. I don't know that it's really important to go through each one of these things. Whatever sounds familiar, I'll mention. And anyway, boil all of those things together. Take 300 cups of it and pour it on one side of your head and 300 cups on the other side of your head. As we've spoken about, 300 is not necessarily a literal number. Now, if that doesn't work, you see, the elos. So again, these are recommendations of things that have been tried. They're not meant to be actual medications. They're much more what the Rambam calls anecdotal. And what the Rambam maintains, that even medical experiments are mostly anecdotal because they do not allow for sufficient controls. So what he says is, halavai that the experimental drugs we should think really work. Kol shekein, these anecdotal things. And then the issue, of course, is, you know, if people try it and it's useful, so try it and it's useful. Anyway, if that doesn't work for your high blood pressure, Richie, so then you can take, you know, just go out there, you'll find a white rose, maybe. But it's got to be a very special white rose, because all of the leaves on the stem can only grow on one side, you know. That's hard to find. Now boil that up and then pour 60 cups on one side of your head and 60 cups on the other side of your head. That should take care of things, Rich. You're looking good. Now letzlichta, so letzlichta is probably a migraine, because it's talking about half of your head, which is often a symptom of migraine. So we're back to our wild tarnagolas, which, of course, were part of the story of Shlomo Melech's search. And shecht that, but you can only shecht it if you've got a silver coin, a really clean silver zuz, which you sharpen up, and you shecht it, and you shecht it over the side of your head that hurts when you have that migraine, so that the blood is actually hits your head. But make sure that you get any of that. Don't get any of that blood in your eyes, because it can cause blindness. And then take the tarnagola breath and hang it b'sifa d'bava. Put it on the entranceway of the house of the person who's ill. And that way, every time he walks in and every time he walks out, he will rub against it, and that's good. Now, levrukti, for growths in the eye, maybe these are cataracts, Lase akrafta the chef chumer. So bring an old scorpion that is so old that it's got various colorations on it that only come with age. Let it dry out in the shade, but not in the sun. Grind it up into a powder. Now mix two parts of kuchla. So kuchla was the eye medication that they used to use and would put into this little eyeshadow thing that you then press into the eye. It contained antimony and other type of chemicals and so on. So mix two parts of kul and one part of ground scorpion and put in three doses from the kul into one eye and the three doses into the other eye. But do not overdose. And if you're not sure, if you've already taken your dose for the day, do not take an extra dose, because if you do, you may burst your eye open. That's not good. So puka ene. This comes with a little, these scorpions come with that little piece of paper that talks about what the dosage is supposed to be. The shavri, we're still at the eye level now. So the shavriri delilia, for an inability to see at night. So what you need to bring is a shudra barka. So you make a rope out of horse hair, animal hair, horse tail, whatever. Venesa chodakara mine. So tie one of the legs of the person who's blind, and the other part should be tied to the leg of a dog. Now, you then have kids that are shaking broken pieces of pottery, and they're making a lot of noise, and they have to say this nonsensical incantation. And they shout after him, Asa Kalba, Asa Tanagola, and so on, which doesn't mean anything. It just means an old dog and a nutty rooster. Okay. So you're supposed to shout that after him. Then go to seven neighbors and ask each one to give you a small piece of meat, uncooked meat. And it should be handed over in the actual, the Tzinura Dasha, remember, the doors used to swing. So the Tzinura Dasha is the hole that the seer would go into. We don't use those kind of doors on the outside of houses anymore. But that means in the doorway, basically. Now eat that by the dump, the place where all the garbage is in town. And then afterwards, take off the rope, live short Shudra Barka, and name Rahaki. So now the person who's blind at night should say also this nonsensical, it's just an incantation. Shavriri de Ploni Bar Plonita, the blindness that is affecting, says his name and his mother names, go away from Ploni Bar Plonita, and then Lechu Lechaba Bebabita de Ene. Then they should blow their breath into the dog's eye. If you can't see in the light, so l'shavriri the yamama, leite shiva sumki megava dechevata, you need to get seven spleens from inside a newly shechted behema. Minitvino achaspa du umna, you have to roast them on the disgusting piece of cheres that is used to collect blood by the person who lets blood, v'leisiv iu migavoi, and then the person who's blind should be sitting inside of a room, v'inish achrine miavroi, and then have a normal person who has normal eyesight, and the blind man should say to the person who can see, havli de echo, give me those things to eat. And the one who is p'ticha, the one who can see, should say, sa ve'chol, so take it and sit down and eat. Bosa de'achol, after he eats, you have to break the piece of cheres that it was all on, the ilo hadri alui, because if not, then the shavriri, which is the name of the shade that causes the blindness, can get back in. L'doma da'asi menechira, now this is Barnea's big moment. And if you've got nosebleed that you can't stop, so you need to find a Kohen whose name is Levi, which we happen to have right here. He is willing to make himself available for any nosebleeds. How much do you charge now? I remember only your charges from the 80s.
It's usually 82 shekels.
Okay, I hear you. So you find a Kohen whose name is Levi. And he should write the name Levi backwards, which is not all that difficult. That should cure him. Now, if that doesn't work...
I was always wondering, is that evil Anrab Narab Samoa? Is it Nahat? Is it Barnea Levi Rilama Sakoe? Is it left to right Barnea?
It's just the Levi part. Now, If that doesn't work, Barnea never says that part. Okay, but now that you know the Gemara, if that doesn't work, you can bring anybody. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Going from the one Kohen whose name is Levi to anybody. So you can bring just anybody, and he has to write this special, again, it's an incantation, it doesn't mean anything, but he's got to write it backwards. And he writes, Anna Papi Shila Barsumki. So me, Papa Shila Barsumki, but he has to write that backwards. Now, if that doesn't work, so then he can write this. Tam Dli Bime Kesef. Tam Dli Bime Begam. Now, if that doesn't work for your nosebleed, Lisa Ikra de Aspasta. So you should bring an aspasta, which is, of course, usually what we talk about feeding animals. The Ashla de Puriatika, take a rope off of a bed, an old bed. Remember the ropes they used to use to support the mattresses. Vikurtasa Muriki. So Rashi says that this is a kind of niyar that is made out of actual rags. So it would be, today it's pretty expensive, this stuff, rag paper. And Muriki would be is always translated as saffron. Sumka de luliva is a red part from a lulav, from a palm. V'niklinu b'hadei adadi, they burn them all together, and you've got ash. Then take a gevava de amra, take yourself a bunch of wool, ball of wool, nigdo tarte petilta, twist it to make two of ropes out of this, put that into vinegar, and then roll them around in the ashes that you just made, and then put one in each nostril. V'ilo. Now, that may not work either. And these nosebleeds are sometimes very tough. Took a long time to figure out that you should pinch your nose hard. But okay. So v'ilo. Now, if that doesn't work, you've got to find a water ditch that's flowing in the direction of east to west. Step over it and stand with one foot on one side and one foot on the other side. Now, bend over, take some mud with your right hand from under your left foot, and take some mud with your left hand from under your right foot. Now, if you could do all that at one point, you won't need to go to gym for a while. And then take two pieces of this wool and stuff them into that mud and put them into your nose. Now, if that doesn't work, there's still this emergency, which is sit under a spout from the roof of water. Somebody should bring some water and pour it over you from that spout and say the following incantation. In the same way, Kiecha Denivske Animaya, in the same way that this water is going to stop, Livsok Dami the Planya Bar Planita. We need the blood from Mr. So and so, the son of Miss So and so, to stop. Now moving on down. So now we're in your mouth. So far we're in your nose. We went to you from your head, your eyes, your nose to your mouth. So you've got bleeding coming from the mouth. So the first thing you have to do is figure out where this blood is coming from. It's not coming from the mouth, it's coming up into the mouth. So so you take some a straw that is dafka was what the wheat was growing on. If the blood sticks to this straw, then you know that it's blood that is coming up from some type of lung disease and it can be cured. But if it's not sticking, then you've got a real problem, because that means that there's liver disease and there's nothing that we know that can be done for it. But in the Mishnah, it's very clear in Elutrefes that it's the opposite, that a liver is actually much less dangerous than a lung. So that if you've got a liver that's completely destroyed, that's a trefa. But if you've got a lung that even has a hole in it, or it's missing something, then that itself makes it a trefa. So how could you say that it would be easier to cure a lung cancer issue here than a liver cancer? Omar Lay, because what we're talking about over here is blood that's coming all the way up into your mouth, that is not a direct, obviously directly coming from your liver. So what that is a symptom of is a liver that is completely diseased, and emorim tuchi tamach, and therefore there's nothing that we know to do for it. Omar Mar, you said before in Mireya Kati Ita Tekanta that if you've determined that the blood is coming from the lungs, then there's something to do. What is there to do? Well, by the way, it's very interesting, you know, that they passed a law that the NIH has to actually take all of these refuahs and examine them. Because, doctors were very mizalzel in folk remedies, and it would turn out like, you know, 1 in 100 times, a folk remedy would actually be onto something that ended up being a major discovery and that would turn out to be something that you could actually distill and utilize. Many of the modern remedies actually come from that kind of thing. So these things have to be tested out, and they're very expensive to test in a serious way. Because of that, nobody ever wanted to do it. So you have all of these alternative medicine freaks that they got Congress to pass a law that you actually have to examine these things and so on.
Rebbe, my uncle was a published professor of pathology, and he was not Frum. Somehow the idea got into his head that he should go through the Gemaras of medicine to see if there was any truth to them, I call it, or any medical value. And he spent 3 years studying the Gemara before he was Frum, to just all everything he could find about medicine. And he told me that he wasn't able medically to verify anything that he found specifically, but he did become Frum because he spent 3 years learning.
So now we know why it's included in the Shas, huh? Lovely story. Okay, so anyway, what is there to do? So all you need to do is bring... Now, sometimes the Gemara uses the word buni, and sometimes the Gemara uses the word kuni, and that means the same thing, I think, which is a handful, or not a handful, which they say a closed fistful. And I love the word buni, because especially when you get to buni kamuni, when you get seven bunis of kamunis, which is coming, it's really sweet. So, okay. So they often show up, the seven buni kamuni. So if you take seven kunis of sliced beets, and then you've got another seven kunis of sliced leek, and you've got five bunis of prida, whatever that is, and you've got three bunis of lentils, and you've got one of cumin, and kuna de chavle, don't know what that is, ukenegdan, kanta petirta. Now you have to have the same amount of all of those. You have to have fat from the intestines of a bechor. So it's a petarechem, a petirta, some kind of animal that was firstborn to its mother. Cook the whole thing together and eat it, and afterwards drink some really strong beer that was made in Tebes. That kind of beer is really powerful. Okay, moving now to your teeth. So, lechacha, this is your back teeth, your molars. Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, what you need is a garlic that only has one clove. So it's a mutated garlic. So be mamaris, grind it up with oil, salt, v'netiva tufri de elyona. What you need to do is to put it on your thumbnail of the side, the hand that's on the side that is your teeth are aching on. And the hukata de kisa de kayevle. And nahadele gedanfa delisha. Now take it and put some dough around it so that it doesn't slide off onto the skin. When this dialogue is, be careful that it shouldn't touch you. Because if it does, it can cause you to get leprosy in that area. The kashi lechivara. Now we're moving into your body through your mouth. Remember, so we started with your bleeding from the mouth. We went back to your molars in the back. And now Rashi says that this is apparently what he's talking about is a serious kind of tonsillitis, which is causing actual choking. So, before there was proper treatment with antibiotics, they would actually remove the tonsils. So that, you know, when I was a kid, nobody had any tonsils left, because that's what they would do. They would take out your tonsils. Okay. Anyway, they're not really needed. It's amazing. This is all like, you know, the same doctors. Okay.
And you've got ice cream in the hospital.
That's right. Yes, lots of ice cream. So if you've got a serious tonsillitis over here that's causing choking, so then you need to actually make sure that you can, you have to do this in stages, you see, because you have to first get the infection to form a cyst, and then you can, afterwards, you can break open the cyst, which will allow it to drain. And then you have to also figure out how to regrow the tissue of the tonsil on it. So it's like you have to do four separate things. So the first thing you do, says Rabbi Yochanan, is you bring chumte, is just as good as mamru. Now, chumte is chrysanthemum, and that, as you know, is the most powerful insecticide that is in use. But almost all insecticides are made out of chumte, which is the pyrethrum, it's called, and it's very effective for against insects. Apparently, it's also useful for tonsillitis. It's just as good as mamro, but I don't know what mamro is. And the ikar, the root of the chrysanthemum, is even better than mamro. And you should keep that in your mouth for a while. Now, that stops the infection from growing. So it stops swelling up. The next thing is...
changing his tribe, but he used to say fenugreek. This is a different approach.
For chumte or for mamro?
No.
The fenugreek shows up here, but the Rashi brings the fenugreek, but not on the chumte, I don't think, is it? Rashi does bring fenugreek. One second. The murika. Chumte for the fenugreek, let's see. He doesn't call it. This is not where he says fenugreek. Fenugreek is later. No, I don't know.
I have it on this slide. It's fine.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so moving on. So now the next thing that you need to do is you need to create the cysts. So the vashule, so in order for it to form cysts that then can break open and will let go of all of the pus. So lyse peridoresh nafya, you should bring the bran that goes up on the top of your sifter, and tlavche beafrayu, bring lentils that are still have the dirt that they grew in attached to them. Shuvlilta, that is fenugreek, yes. I don't know where you, but maybe you just put it in the wrong place. Shuvlilta and chumarta de kashuta. Kumata de Kashuta is hops that you use to make beer, but these are the blossoms on the hop. Veninkun kamguza bupume, and smush this all together. Keep the size of about a nut in your mouth to suck on until the cysts form. Then, what you want to do is you want to cause the swelling till they burst. So, leiftuche, in order to get them to burst. So what you need to do is irritate the top of the cyst, the abscess. So limpach lechavri tach lechivora begilach dechitata. Now, it's very difficult to get to that area. So what you need to do is you take a very thin straw, which is hollow inside. You use that to blow these seeds of cress into the abscesses, which irritates them and causes them to break open. Then lasuke, that's the fourth thing that you have to do, is you have to now cover them over with new tissue. So laite afri mitula de betakise, venigbo bedufsha venecho demalele. You need to get some dust that was on the side of a toilet seat, and it was in the shade that was caused by that toilet, and mix it with honey, and that works for this. Okay, now we're moving in levarsam. So this apparently is sinusitis. Leite ki piskita de nishador. So you need to bring like a pistica, I'm not sure what that is, whether it's fistuk or some say it's the cone from a pine tree, anyway, of nishador. Now, nishador is actually today is still used for this. It's called ammoniac, and it's a resin from a tree, and it is used actually for exactly this, interestingly. V'chi amguze de chalbanita du v'shanipa, and you need some again, sweet chalbana, which is galbana, and meleitar vada duvsha, and a spoonful of honey makes the medicine go down. That's a male tarvada duvsha, it's a spoonful of honey. And male natla bat mechuzah charma nakida, then a natla size, the kind that they use in mechuzah, of wine, not red wine, but clear wine, boil them all together. Nishlokino bahadadeyatani. Now, when you see that the ammoniac is cooked, then you can be sure the whole thing is cooked, because it's very difficult to get that cooked up. Now, if that doesn't work, and you need a revius of a white goat milk, so you get one of those, whew, not easy. And the taifa atlat kalche karva, and you let that drip over three stalks of cabbage into a glass. V'divchashe begavza de marmahin. Now you need to stir that up with a stick from a marmahin tree. Cook it together with the stick. V'chibashel gavza be marmahin, bashele kule. Once that stick has been cooked up, you can be sure the whole thing is ready to drink. Now, if that doesn't work...
Sorry, Rebbe?
Yeah.
Taking medicine, they use many fats of different animals. It would seem to be more reasonable that the sister be fat rather than milk. It would be the fat of a goat. And Rebbe just
mentioned before... Oh, it could be. It's very possible. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just usually it's goat milk that's meaningful, not goat fat, but who knows? I mean, it certainly is suggestive. You know, the Gemara does talk about goat milk in other places, but you may be right. Especially, you know, with your omega 5 and omega 6 analysis and so on, it must be that the Gemara is telling you what kind of Barnea fat to eat.
But specifically, what they loved was a castrated sheep and the fat of the left kidney. That was the best of the best.
I see. Okay. Different strokes for different folks, I gotta tell you. The Elo, now if that doesn't work, Leite Nafke de Kabachivra, now this is the worst. You gotta bring some excrement of a white dog. Now mix that together with some balsam and eat that. But if you can manage without eating, it's always better not to stir the you know what. Do not eat excrement ever. Because it definitely is not too good for you, and it's befarek. So Rashi says, if you can live with your problem, maybe it's better to live with the problem instead of taking the medicine. Okay, legira. So if you're suffering from gira, so gira, we're now going down towards the heart, and gira seems to be some very sharp, probably because from this point on, we're going to be talking about the things around the heart. So this could be a pain around the heart. Light a gira delilta, you should bring a gira delilta. Now, gira delilta apparently is some kind of meteorite that is shaped like an arrow. Turn it upside down, pour water over it, and drink water. Now, if that doesn't work, bring some water that a dog drank from at night, but be careful that it wasn't in an area that would be a problem of snakes because of gili, because that can be obviously dangerous. You have to be zoyer from. What if you did drink water that was uncovered in a place where there are poisonous snakes or things like that? Drink an anpak of wine without any water, total wine. If you've got a mursa, so this would be another thing, we're bringing this in here not in order, because we were talking about the anpak of the chamra chaya. So an anpak of the chamra be'ahala tolu'ana, if you have red aloes mixed with an anpak of wine, that is good for abscesses. Now getting back to the heart. So lepircha deliva, so if you are affected with skipping beats in the heart or fainting, laise telas brushiata desa'are. So you need to get three challahs made from barley. Nishtarinu bekamcha, you soak them in this kamcha, which is pretty awful itself, because remember that was the kutach that was made out of whey and a lot of spices, and it was very sharp and was old. And it would be, you know, you would use spoiled milk to make it, spoiled whey. But it can't be more than 40 days old. And you eat that, and then drink a lot of watered-down wine, not the fresh wine. So it's sort of the opposite. Said Rav Achmi Diftu Ravina, oh my God, that's going to, for sure, if you think you were missing some beats, you're going to faint that away. That's terrible. Omar Le, yeah, that's true. The things I was saying wasn't for missed beats. That was for Yukra Deliba. That's where you're feeling like your heart is not pumping enough blood. But the Pircha Deliba, you've got palpitations, what you should take is 3 loaves of wheat, not of barley. And that you would dip in honey, let them soak in a lot of honey, and you eat them, and then you drink a lot of strong wine after that. Nishte abasrayo chamra chaya. Now, letzarcha deliba, if you've got some type of heart disease, leite talad bea ninya'a, bring 3 beitzim worth of mint, be'asa de chamuna, and 1 egg worth of cumin, and 1 egg worth of sesame, and eat that. Lekeev me'ai. Now we're moving down to your intestines. You got intestinal pain. Lysitlas mea pilpile harichata. So what you need is 300 long peppers. Woo! And ko yume nishta mea minayo b'charma. Every day, this is a 3-day treatment. You better be hospitalized for this. You should be under observation. You drink 100 of these peppers mixed with wine every day. Ravin de Minaresh, avad alavarte de Rav Ash. Now, Ravin, he was apparently knowledgeable about these things. Rav Ashi's daughter had these pains in her abdomen, and he made only 150 of the kind of pepper that we've got here in Bovel, behind it, done. And that was good enough. So I don't know why these guys need 300. Now, lechirtza, chirtza is a type of worm, intestinal worms, an antpaka de chamra ba'atrafa de ara, with a certain type of tree leaf. They translate it as laurel, usually, ara. And lechirtza chivra, if you've got these white worms, leise bizra galgila, so this is some seeds from one of the kinds of lettuce plants, v'nitzayre b'shistak. So wrap that in cotton, in cloth made of cotton, soak in water, and drink it. But do not swallow the actual kernel from the galgila. Because ilo, if you swallow it by accident, it's very sharp and it can actually puncture the intestines. Now, lemesar, when you want to stop a attack of diarrhea, sisin retiva b'maya. Sisin is always translated as pennyroyal, but I don't know what that is. So if you soak it, and it's very wet, and it's retiva, means not that it's soaked, it's fresh. So if it's freshly picked sisin, and you let it soak in water, if you need to do the opposite, and you need lamishra, you need to loosen the bowels, so then you use dry sisin in water. And the way to remember is Itza Retiva de Sochar Nahara. Remember, we've got a lot of problems with types of vegetation that dams up rivers that you got to always keep opening. So that reminds you that if you want to dam up your diarrhea, you need to use fresh Itza. Just a way to remember. Letachla. Now we're at your spleen. You've got a spleen that's swollen. Lese Shave Bini de Maya. V'niyapshino betula. So bring leeches from the water, dry them out, not in the sun, but in the shade, and every day, 3 days, you drink 3 of these. Ko yumanishte tarte utlas, drink 2 or 3 of them in wine. Now, if that doesn't work, you can bring the tchol of etziparte de lo yiptach. You need to have a goat, a female goat. Take the spleen of a female goat that never was pregnant. Minatachi betanura, press it on the oven on the insides as if it were a bread they were cooking on the side of the oven. Stand next to the oven and say the following incantation. Ki echa de yabish haitachla ne yabish tachli de pluni bar plunita. And if that doesn't work, then the tachi beni urbe de betachadata. You should take that same spleen from the female goat and put it between the cracks of bricks in a new house and say the same thing if you don't have an oven handy. Now, if that doesn't work, then you need to find someone who dies on Shabbos. Now, make sure that you've got a tie-in to the Chevra Kaddish. As soon as somebody dies on Shabbos, then you need to take the hand of the dead person, put it over your spleen, and say, Ki eicha deyavish hayada neyavish tachler deploni par plonita. Now, if that doesn't work, you could always bring a fish, and you could roast the fish in the coals that were used to heat up a smithy. And nechle b'maya deve nafka, and then eat that fish dipped into the water that the smithy uses to cool the metal. And v'nishte mimaya deve nafka, and after that, drink some of the water. Now, ayi iza, you want to know how amazing this stuff is for your spleen? There was a certain goat that always used to sneak in to drink the water from a smithy shop, and when they shechted it, it didn't even have a spleen. Oh my gosh. So imagine what this stuff will do for a swollen spleen. Maybe you shouldn't overdo it, but it definitely will cure your spleen. Now, if that doesn't work, the best thing to do, get yourself some good wine, open up the whole barrel, and drink a lot of it. With the chavita de chamre for your own COVID. Let me tell you something, baby. If this guy can afford a barrel of good wine, he wouldn't have had problems with his spleen in the first place. So this is a ridiculous piece of advice. So, Iisle Chavita de Chamra, I promise you, he ain't knocking on your door for a remedy. He's got better places to go. So, Loasi Lekame Demar. Ella, I'll tell you, we're talking about people who are not going to be able to have wine. Miragal bepat shacharit, he should get himself a habit of eating a good breakfast. Let me tell you something. A good breakfast will cure anything that's ailing you. And that way, why wait till you get sick? Eat healthy first. It's great. Okay, Lerush Chata, we're moving down now into your rear end. So now you've got hemorrhoids. Laite akika ve'ilva, so bring, this sounds like acacia, aloes, aspircha umartacha, not quite sure what that is, and chumarta de pylon v'shi'afa de chamamita, so you need, this is a locket that they would use, that was very common. They used to make these lockets with things that smelled, you know, in order to get rid of body odor. They didn't have deodorants and so on. And you also need a shiafa de chamimta. So you need some bird excrement from a dove. And ninket b'shacha keita kita b'kaita, wrap this up in linen cloth, if it's summertime, and wrap it up at semra gef and damra gufta in cotton rags in the wintertime and put them over the hemorrhoids. If that doesn't work, drink a lot of shichra marka, you can drink a lot of not strong beer. The shigrona is a pain. I think usually it's talking about a type of arthritic pain, but it's the thighs and the pelvis. So laisipatia demunine v'nigdar gereshitin zimne ahamatach tie and shitin zimne ahamatach. So basically, take this pot. It's full of herring or other small fish, and then put it 60 times over one hip and then 60 times over the other hip. If you've got a tzmirtas, and you've got a stone that is blocking your ability to urinate, and that is extremely painful, nice tlas nitufaita mishcha de kufre, so you bring 3 drops of oil that was taken from tar, tlas nitufaita itzer de karte, same type of thing from squeezing leeks. Utlatni tufaisi de chamra nikida, together with 3 drops of clear wine. For a male, you try to get it into the penis. And for a woman, bosomakom into the urethra in order to dissolve the stone. Vilo, laisei una de zika, you bring the handle from a bottle, from a and the zika doesn't necessarily have to be grass. So mitu le ish ba'ama, hang it off of the guy's penis and let it sit there. And for a woman, you can hang it on her breasts. And if that doesn't work, then what you need is one of these red threads. But don't get the kind that comes from Kever Rachel. You need the red thread that comes from the red light district. So it's got to be woven by a whore who's the daughter of a whore. So she's a Duma, Bas Duma. And again, you hang that off of the guy's penis. That should do it for sure. Or you hang it off the woman off of her breast. And now if that doesn't work, you could always get a louse from a female or a male, and you put that louse on the guy's penis. Not a great idea. And for a woman, you put the louse near her vagina. And then, kimashtin, when this poor guy or girl urinates, make sure that the urination takes place as sisna yavishta b'tsinura d'dashta. You've got to have these thorns that are in the door to the house. Now, that way the stone will be trapped. And if you are able to get rid of the stone and it passes, then you'll find the stone in those thorns. Those stones are very useful. And what you need to do, you grind them up. Those are antidotes for just about any type of thing. Whew. Okay, I think we'll get into the tzimra, which is the different types of fevers, tomorrow. So this is the segue into the fevers from kidney stones. Of course, your doctor may actually give you a little bottle of these stones. They often do that, just so you should see how bad you were off. Okay, guys. Whew. I'm really sorry about this, but that I'm such an amoritz and I can't tell you the names of half of these things. And even when I tell you the names, I'm such an amoritz that I don't even know what they are outside. So, you know, I'm sure over there in Finland, Richie, you can probably find some nice down-to-earth people that'll be able to show you what all of these things are. And then you could try it out for those skip beats on your heart and for any of those fainting spells or high blood pressure. This could be the summer of your relief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific berries. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. And try to avoid eating any of that dog excrement. Not a good idea. Go to.